Hey friends, welcome to It's All Happening with Amanda, a weekly podcast that dives deep into your favorite reality TV shows. With help from my special guests, we break down the most shocking, controversial, and heartfelt moments from Bravo and beyond. In the words of Aviva Drescher, I say what I mean, but I never say it mean. Grab a fancy AF cocktail and get ready for me to mention it all. Hi, everyone. I am here with Steve, also known as Spaces by Bravo on Instagram. Host. Hey, Steve. He's dying. He's dying.
I'm so sorry.
It's okay. I'm not cutting this, by the way. I'm keeping this part in.
Damn it. My drink went down the wrong pipe.
Oh my God. Wait, I'll give you a sec. I will cut it. I will.
No,
I will. I'll give you a second.
Good. We're good.
So here he is, everybody.
Hi.
Faces by Bravo. He's also the host of the podcast, But Now We Said It, from The Dip. Thank you so much for coming back to It's All Happening. I've been so excited to talk to you.
Thanks for having me back. Of course, I had to make a grand entrance with that, choking on my iced tea, but how are you?
I'm so good. It's so awesome to be able to talk Salt Lake City after we talked. I think it was around the reunion time last season. So we're going to be doing an episode about Salt Lake City over on the Patreon, but here on the main podcast, we're talking about Potomac, which I am so excited to get your thoughts all about the season of Potomac.
This last episode was delicious.
I know.
Like, it was everything. It had everything in it. I was watching just full of glee last night because there was nothing wrong with that episode. It was perfect.
Perfection. Before we get into it, I want to hear a little bit more about your new podcast with The Dip. So I love that you're actually going down memory lane and talking about old seasons of Housewives. So far, you've been covering season one of Orange County. Can you share kind of what your plans are? Are you going to do different franchises or just stick with Orange County? What's the plan?
Yeah. So, But Now We Said It, as you said, is sort of a nostalgia and trip down memory lane with our seasons of Housewives past, because, you know, new episodes of Housewives are great and all, but old episodes of Housewives are even better. So we just did season one of Orange County, which was so fun to relive. And it was great to catch up with a lot of the people that were on the season and sort of getting the behind the scenes stuff that we probably wouldn't have seen, or they haven't talked about, or things that, you know, they just remembered from all those years ago. So it was really exciting. And it was, I mean, one of the most surprising things was interviewing Shane. He is like, I could have talked to him for hours, which is so interesting, because when I thought back to when I was starting, and my initial memory of Shane was the opposite of what he is today.
Wow.
So it was really cool.
It's cool to see people kind of grow into their own. And he was, you know, so much younger, I guess, when
totally.
The show premiered, and just the perceptions of people from TV can often be different too, of how things really are. So yeah, that's
totally.
Really awesome. That's awesome.
It actually, when I interviewed him and he said, like, people come up and talk to me as if I'm still the same person I was 15 years ago. And it's like, no, dude, it's been 15 years. And I didn't even think about that, but my perception of him was what I thought of him, you know, all those years ago.
Right. He's frozen in time in your memory.
100%. And I was like, oh shit, you're right. I definitely fully had my old school mentality of who you were.
Do you have like a dream guest of someone from any franchise from the past that you'd be dying to interview?
Oh my gosh, that's such a good one. I would have to say I'm going to go with Kim Richards and I feel like Sheree Whitfield.
They would be great. They were awesome.
Yes.
And I feel like they would give so much.
I was hesitant to hesitant to say charade because I believe we are getting a charade return.
I would love that. I think it would be amazing for her to come back. I don't typically love when people come back, but I feel like she would be, it's been long enough and she can come back now. And
charade is one of the ones that I think there's only four on my list of these people, but housewives that I don't care if they have a storyline or not. I just want them to be housewives.
Right.
And that list is Tamra Judge, Melissa Gorga, which I know you have some opinions.
It's okay. I get why you like her. I totally do. I get why people like her.
Sonia Morgan and Sheree Whitfield. Those are the four for me that I don't care if they have a storyline. They just deserve to be a housewife.
Yeah, it's just entertainment. I do want to talk really quickly because we just got some not surprising but breaking news that Cynthia is not returning to Atlanta.
Oh.
So do you think that, I mean, we kind of all expected it, but do you think that's the best move? Like, what do you think about that?
I do, only because it's not that I don't like Cynthia. I love Cynthia, and I've always been like up and down with like what I want from her. I think my biggest issue with keeping her is solely the paycheck. Like, I would be fine if they kept her if she would take like a lot lower pay, just because that's been my biggest like concern about Atlanta for so long, is they have all of these like high paid cast members and they deserve it, but it's not allowing for a lot of amazing new talent to come in.
Right.
And that's why I was like, we need to get rid of some of these high paid people. Not that I want to, but I want some new blood. We need to shake this up.
Yeah. And if their role is kind of getting more in the background, if they're not so much involved in the mix, which like, I think Cynthia brings a lot, but not in terms of like her story anymore. So
exactly.
I agree with you there. So, I mean, I will miss her, but mm-hmm. I do think it's better for housewives to leave when their time is up, because right. then if they stick around for too long, then it's starting to be kind of like annoying. And honestly, last season with the wedding, I was just like,
yeah. I was, but you know what's kind of iconic? Her first season was, the finale was her wedding, and then her last season was her wedding. And I feel like that's going to be a hard thing for another housewife to ever do. Like, right. She'll probably be the only one that ever has that. That's kind of iconic.
And the vow renewal, right? In the middle.
Oh my God, yes! Even better. Oh my God. Oh,
but that is true. It's kind of like she started her journey with Peter and then she ended her journey now with Mike. And it's like, new chapter, just go be with your hubby. And, you know, I'm happy for her, mm-hmm. you know, hopefully, and she'll be successful. I mean, she'll be great. I would like to see her come back for an episode or something. I totally. Like when people leave on good terms with at least some people, you know, so that we can catch up with them again. But
I agree.
Let's talk about Potomac. So I want to hear your thoughts about Giselle's home renovations, Hotel Giselle, because I know that the West Wing looks bad, but I kind of feel like once they add more to balance it out with like the foyer, it's going to be okay. Do you have high hopes or not really?
You know, she doesn't have that many talents, and interior design is definitely not one, and neither is construction and neither is architecture. So I think it's time for her to hand over the plans to somebody else and maybe have someone guide her in the right direction.
Yeah. I'm surprised that, you know, that's, I don't know. I'm just surprised that they would have done the addition that way. Cause my house actually has an addition. I didn't do it. It was done before, but they did it in the back of the house. So even if like the outside, the exterior paint, like didn't match perfectly, you can't see it unless you're in the back. And with her house, it really does kind of like stick out like a sore thumb over on the side. I'm like, there had to have been a better way to add extra square footage to this house than to add like, just like plop it down there.
Well, I could totally visualize like whoever her contractors are and stuff, them saying like, this is not a great idea. And her fully being like, no, I know this is going to look great. it's going to be flawless. And she's just, it's just so delusional. It's kind of amazing. I feel like she's trolling us, but not with a house that expensive. Like, I guess not. I mean, that truly, it feels like she's trolling us though.
I know. I think she really wanted it to be like the West Wing. Like your eye goes straight to it. Like you can't miss the West Wing. So I was just surprised that they decided to throw the Reasonably Shady party here, because they really could have done it anywhere, like a park,
literally
anywhere, because it was outside. I mean, I thought that the decor of the party was cute. Like I really liked the tent, the chairs, they made it work, but in the middle of construction, like what are you doing?
God bless those editors and those cameramen. Them highlighting the desolate sort of like bleak environment that they're in while she's trying to drag like Candace for having a low budget video shoot.
Right. I mean,
chef's kiss. The balloon, my favorite was the bunches of red balloons.
Oh my God.
Like falling to the ground and dragging along the ground. And I was thinking, oh my God, that's so many Richards.
Oh my God. Oh, so many Richards. My favorite was, I think it was blocked by Jax on Instagram, was like, this looks like a scene from Pennywise. Like Pennywise is going to hop out any minute now.
It is so bad. It's so good. It's so bad. It's so good.
I know. And the producers were probably like, yes, this is a great idea. Have it at Hotel Giselle. I was dying though when she said that she wasn't going to let in Wendy and Karen to use the bathroom. I'm like, you're going to invite them to your party, but then not let them go to the bathroom. And I was glad Robin like shut that down, because I think sometimes she is just like, oh, Giselle, and like rolls over a little, but she was like, no, that's not happening.
You know what? And she was on Watch What Happens Live last night. It was nice to see her even on Watch What Happens Live. Like when they played this game, it's essentially if she approved of shady things Giselle did, and she shut these things down, and she kind of like read her a couple times, and I was like, all right, I feel better about this. Needed a little bit of discord.
Yeah. And I get it. Like, you know, we all have those friends that were like, yeah, I know that they're shady, but like they're my friend and I just love them. And I know that they have a good heart. And I can see that Robin sees the best in Giselle, and she doesn't get it from Giselle herself. So it's hard for her to, you know, lash back out at her, but at some point you kind of have to.
I agree. And I honestly feel like I actually like their friendship a lot. Like, cause it's very rare that housewives do actually maintain that type of friendship this long. But I will say, and you know, I really don't like Giselle as a housewife or anything, but I mean this like objectively, I do feel like Robin would thrive a little more, or so much more, if she would just distance herself a little bit, you know, like I think she is such a great housewife if she would get out of, as Karen would say, Giselle's bush. Which I have never heard someone say that. And it's incredible. Thank you, Karen.
Yes. Karen never, she never disappoints. I was actually, okay. So she gets her like LaDom samples in. And at this point, I actually felt like it was pretty quick, where I actually don't know, was Karen always going to do candles? Like this was a pretty quick turnaround, where now I'm thinking like maybe she didn't copy off Wendy. Like maybe this was always her plan. What do you think?
I definitely think it was always her plan, because like you said, the fact that all of this was done, like remember how long it took LaDom.
Right.
Like, so I think it was convenient editing with production. Like, oh, we're going to make this, is because this is like a chef's kiss feud.
Yes.
We love petty little a one wick versus a three wick.
So
could that not be more housewives? It's incredible. Like truly incredible. So I think she did not take Wendy's idea.
No, I don't. Yeah, I don't think so either. I do think Wendy is handling it okay. Like she definitely was caught off guard, but she's not like pissed at Karen. And I was happy to see like that Karen was like, there's room for both of us. And Wendy was like, absolutely. And
absolutely.
Absolutely. I just can't wait to test both candles out to see which one I prefer.
Me too. Mm. I'm curious, like, I'm a little worried that LaDom's going to have like a very grandma type sweat smell. I don't know. I heard the perfume is a little grandma-esque. Mm-hmm. I have not smelled it before though.
A little strong. Yeah. Might be too much for me. I'm very basic. I'm like a basic bitch. Like I love pumpkin candles and like Christmas, like scents and things like that. So.
Oh, you ready? I love Christmas cookie candles.
Yeah. Like that straight love vanilla those. Scent. Yes. Like I love it.
It's so basic. I also love just like, you know, a clean linen or, you know, something simple like that.
Yes. I did like Bravo candles a while back, and the company who I did like a collaboration with, they have one called Crispy Clean, and that's what it smells like. It just smells like fresh laundry. So I will plug that. Just inhale candles, everybody. They also have some 3-wick options.
Oh yes. You know, but where's the 2-wick option?
I know. What if I'm wondering.
What if you're in between on the budget? I can only do 2 wicks this month.
I wonder how that would burn. Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, we can do like a science experiment later. What were you thinking about Ray's phone call from that woman? Did you buy that? What was that? Like he got like a selfie from someone.
That timing was not great.
Yeah.
I mean, great for us. I have no idea. That, I mean, so he was trying to say that it was like a spam text.
Yeah. Right.
So I don't know about you, but I have gotten random spam texts before, but never with like a picture like that.
No, it's always like just a link that's like, click on this to claim your prize or something.
Or like, I've gotten one of those. I actually just saw it today, but it was like a couple months ago. I got one of those like, hey, it's Rebecca. Is this Peter we met at so-and-so? Or like, it's like this venue. I'm in town again. Can you want to meet up? And it's like very obviously just like a spam, like bot thing.
Right.
But again, no picture. So I'm thinking I don't know. I'm worried about that, to be honest.
It was his reaction is what worried me because Darring. He was like hiding his phone.
Yes, because you saw him like as soon as she had it, his eyes, like if you followed his eyes, it was like pure terror. Like she has my phone. What is she going to say?
Yeah. Like if that happened to me, if I got like a random text, like with a picture, a selfie, and my husband was standing there, I'd be like, what is this? Like I would show him. And I'm not saying that the text came from someone who Ray knew, but it's almost like there could have been something that he didn't want her to see. But I liked her reaction that she called the number back and was like,
yes,
this is Mrs. Huger.
Yes. Oh my God. And he goes, why are you telling them my name? Why are you telling him my name? He just seems very guilty in this scent or in this moment.
Yeah. So hopefully not, but so I want to talk about Candace and Dorothy. So we found out that Dorothy has been staying with Candace for 9 days, which is like a very long time for a house guest. Mm-hmm. And Candace asks her about the Mia conversation about Chris, and Dorothy pulls the I don't recall card, even though it was like the day before, which like, I don't know. I liked Dorothy this episode and I normally don't just because she was making me laugh, but I don't know. I mean, what do you think about her concerns about Chris? Like, do you think that she should be voicing them on camera to Candace's friends? Like, what do you make of all of it?
I love that she's doing it for us. Mm-hmm. If I was Candace, no, I would not be thrilled by that. But for us, please keep going, Dorothy. And my favorite was last episode when she was like, oh, I know the mics are on. Yes. And then she kept like looking at the camera, making eye contact every time. Like she was talking about Ness. Amazing. Thank you, Dorothy.
I know. I think she does like the attention too. Like, I think she's so into it. I feel like she does have concerns about Chris, but I feel like it's more for the show than anything.
I agree. I think I understand though her concerns, because, and I'm curious to know what Chris is doing more. Like, I feel like there's more that he's doing that we don't see, obviously. So yes, from what I am witnessing on our television screen, I understand the concern, because like, what is he doing? I do feel like Bravo is trying to highlight him drinking a lot.
Oh, you know, I haven't picked up on that. No.
Like, and even like, I think a previous episode, Candace said, are you drinking? Like he's always pouring drinks at the bar at like random hours of the day. So I feel like I'm picking up on them portraying like he's not doing a lot, but I feel like he must have some other business on the side, right?
Right. And it's like, I don't know, in my mind, if you sell a restaurant, I don't know how successful the restaurant was, if he needed to sell it or if
he... I don't think he ever owned it.
Oh, he just worked there?
Yes.
Okay. See, and then so I thought he like owned it or was like a manager I guess he was a manager, but mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. That makes a little bit more sense than why she would be concerned. Cause this whole time I thought he owned the restaurant and I was like, mm-hmm. Well, if he sold a restaurant, he might've like made enough money to not work for a year and figure things out. But
yeah, I even remember, I think from season 3, she brought it up. He might have owned a portion of the restaurant.
Okay.
But usually the portions I think are less than like 10%, maybe like less than 5%.
Not enough to like live off of after selling it. I want to talk about your thoughts about Mia. So she went out to ice cream with her mom and her whole family. And she talked about how she sometimes feels left out because her sister and her mom seem to have more of like a codependent relationship. And because she, I think, married well, and then like always had like a pretty stable life, she felt like her mom didn't want to be there for her as much. And I don't know. I feel like every time Mia shows her family, I feel like it's genuine. I feel like some people think she's like kind of playing mm-hmm. things up, but I really like her. So what do you think about Mia?
I am so conflicted on my feelings on Mia because I do like her. I feel like I'm struggling with seeing, I feel like she doesn't fit with the group. Or there's something missing there. And I feel like she's always the new person there. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like usually at the beginning, yeah, she's the new person. But as the season goes on, it feels like, oh, someone's becoming part of the group. I feel like even Giselle said at this event when they were saying goodbye, like, oh, I'm sorry we didn't get to have some one-on-one time or something like that. It almost feels like she's still, they don't know her.
Like she isn't connected with a close friend yet. Cause she keeps flip flopping around. I mean, I get it. She's trying to figure it out, I think.
Right.
But it doesn't feel like she's like close. Yeah.
Right. It doesn't feel like she, but like you said, like I love her personal story. I love watching all of that. And I think I really appreciate her sharing a lot of that stuff because that's such an important thing to really be talking about. And there's probably so many people that she could connect or people could connect to her on that level. So I really love seeing that, but I'm confused by her in the group. That is my heart. That's the hardest thing with her.
Yeah. I'm really liking her for the show, but I do hope that she can kind of find her footing. I mean, it seems like right now her and Candace are obviously not friends in real time because we have the foot fight, but so I don't know if that means she's getting, as we watch the season, if she's going to get closer with everyone. She came on quote unquote as Karen's friend, and we haven't even mm-hmm. really seen her and Karen do too much together yet. So yeah, we'll see. But I do like her personal story. And I feel like a lot of times with new housewives, it's like they throw them in the mix. Maybe they're just filming as a friend of like Escala, so we don't get to know them very well yet. Who Escala, I'm obsessed with.
I need
this episode need was so good.
Mm-hmm. I need her full time.
She really, I feel like she finally is at the point where she's like, I'm going to make my opinion known. Mm-hmm. And she's like really putting her foot down when she sees something wrong. And I don't know. I'm just really liking her. I feel nice.
I actually was talking to Monty yesterday and I said to her, I'm curious what it would have been like. I'm pretty sure they like must have found a Scale like later in the process. I'm not 100% sure, but it'd be curious to know if she had been like found earlier, if how it would have been if she was like full time and Mia was like the friend of.
Yeah.
Because it almost feels more natural when a Scale is around.
Yeah.
Over Mia, in my opinion.
In the group.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because we've seen more of the like, yeah, like when she, especially when she's in a smaller group, like when she was with Wendy and Karen, like it just felt normal for her to be there doing the school supply drive, which I loved, by the way. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, you know, they're just their natural conversation. Like it didn't feel like she was like having to think too hard about what she was saying and her commentary on situations. She's just being herself. Whereas I feel like Mia's still like, it's like she's thinking through everything she's saying about the group.
Mm-hmm.
But I do like her. So I am too. Giving Mia a chance.
I am too. But yes, I really want Maura Scale. I think she's stunning. I think she has a strong voice. She puts it out there. And I love that she's Ethiopian and I want to learn more about her family and their traditions and their culture. So give me Maura Scale. I like could not love her more.
I wouldn't even mind if they just like kept everything the same next season and just added a whole, like added her as full time and have had that many full time people. I don't mind a big cast.
Same. And you know what? I actually think that would be beneficial for this cast in particular, because, you know, one of the reasons like not to have as many full time people is because, you know, you get less of a personal story, right? But with this cast being so strong how it is, but four of them are OGs. And so like maybe personal story isn't like super thriving right now. If there's eight people to spread it around, then we wouldn't have to have such a huge personal story from everybody, you know?
Right? Because we don't need to know someone's background if they've already been open. You know, sometimes it takes people like four seasons to open up about their past. You know,
so Derek, six, and we still haven't even gotten that far.
I know, it's true. So I think that's a really good point, because people like Giselle, we've kind of already heard about her past. We know her kids really well. We know that whole story. Same thing with Robin. We've been there with Juan and everything. So like, yeah, things are still developing, but that getting that backstory isn't as much needed.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's get to the party. So they play. So Giselle and Robin hadn't told the other women that they had the podcast. And so they announced their podcast and it seems like everyone was really actually like happy for them. Until basically Giselle decides to tell everyone that she wasn't going to let them use the bathroom. So I'm like, why? I don't know. I mean, I guess Giselle is shady, so she's going to do that. But I was confused because when she explained why she didn't want Wendy in her house, Wendy was like, I never said anything about your house. And I was like, yeah, did she? I don't know why she remember had a problem with that.
I literally don't remember her saying anything about the house. Like she said, I remember her talking about her dressing and all of that and not having a man, but the house, I don't really remember
saying
anything.
Right.
But Karen did say, I might've said it.
Right. She's like, oh, that was probably me.
That was actually me. And then Giselle goes, yeah, that was you, but we good now.
And I mean, Candace is the one who called it a teardown. I mean,
was she wrong though?
I know. She wrong? She wasn't wrong. And I mean, Wendy and Giselle have had their issues recently because of the Eddie stuff. So I mean, I get that, but I didn't buy the reason she gave for why she wasn't going to let her in. And even when they did the flashback to Wendy talking about Giselle's clothes, I didn't even think she was being that mean. She was like, Giselle's beautiful. So she's just never had to like show up in that way.
Right.
And everyone has said that.
It's fascinating to me that Giselle is still so delusional that she doesn't understand that. She really still thinks she is serving. And it's very fascinating. Narcissism is wild.
She should just get a stylist.
I don't get it. It is like, girl, you are making coins on this show now. Like, a stylist is what, like 10 grand a month? Like, do it.
I know. And like, I am not Dorit. Like, I'm not like a fashionista. I'm not Paige DeSorbo.
Oh, neither am I.
But yeah. I wear like basic stuff. So I don't ever look like bad. I just, right. Nobody would comment on my fashion. Like, they just wouldn't say anything. But Giselle wears like ridiculous things. That's the difference.
It is literally such a beautiful canvas that has so much that you can do with, and she just finger paints. It's yeah. just unbelievable.
That is the best way to say it. So the party was really fun. I loved the reasonably shady game. I feel like this is like a fun game for them to play. But the whole time they were being shady, like they were being shady with the questions that they were asking. And I just hope that they knew that they were going to get themselves into this situation. Cause I was like, oh God, here we go again.
1000%. And you know what? Can we give Karen the vaccine every day? I need it. And the editing of what, like they are top tier editors on this show. Like they have found their niche. It is just, I can't, like, I was laughing so hard last night at how they put that together, because I never would have even thought to do something.
No, like, I mean, when Candace was like showing up and it was like the screen was foggy and she yes. was like, look, like it looked like she was like in another dimension. I'm like, they don't do this stuff on other Housewives shows. They don't play with the video. They don't play with like the filtering. They don't play with the sound, the slow motion. Everything that they do on the show is so intentional to like set the scene. And it was just yes. so good. It was so good.
It's like, they really know the editors know their cast so well at this point. And they're able to like pick out those moments and create a whole like layer to the story that's happening. Yes. I love it.
Yes. So Candace showed up and she basically, like, they all were arguing about whether Wendy should have told Candace at the photo shoot about Mia talking to Dorothy. And Candace was like, well, she told me and it wasn't the wrong time because I didn't blow up at the photo shoot. Like, I didn't even mention it to Mia. I'm just going to bring it up now. And then Candace confronts Mia about what she said to Dorothy. So where do you stand on that with the Candace and Mia situation?
So with, when it regards to Wendy telling Candace, I don't think it was the right time, but because it, like, only because she was so stressed out already with the cars and everything,
yeah,
and things not like coming through. However, in Housewives, it's always best to just get it out right away, because you, if you wait, like you essentially can't win either way. It's like, you didn't tell me then, or you're telling me now. I don't know. It's just, it can bite you in the ass if you wait, right?
Yeah, I think she appreciated it.
Exactly. However, if that would have made Candace spiral even more during this, that probably wouldn't have been great, but it didn't. So all in all, it ended up being fine.
Yeah.
With Mia. So I think Candace needs to remember that Dorothy was just so happy to be messy along with Mia, though.
Yeah.
So Mia, I do feel like when she was asking that, I don't feel like she was trying to be shady. It was shady, but like, I don't think she was overtly just trying to be like I think she truly agrees that I've done this before. It ain't gonna work.
Like, right. I think she was like, who's in charge? Like, is Chris right. being paid? Like, if he is, like, maybe
exactly.
don't.
Exactly. So I think she was, while it was shady because it, like, you don't know this girl that well. Like, that's actually a perfect example of my conflict with Mia, is I feel like Mia and Candace, like, I forget that they've even ever interacted in before.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel natural. Like, thinking about this, it feels like they just met like 2 days ago.
Right. And so, like,
doesn't it feel weird?
Yeah. And then of course now they're not going to be, you know, on good terms, because she's right. talking to her mom. She's like gossiping at the photo shoot. And then you know, I saw a lot of people today commenting on when Mia called her shoot low budget, and then she was like, your mom was low budget, and everyone's like, how could you say that? Mia's mom, like, blah blah blah. Yeah. Which I get it, but at the same time I'm like, but she was talking to her mom, she was commenting on Chris, she was commenting on the shoot being low budget. And I know that, yeah, was that in bad taste? I don't particularly like yo mama jokes, but it's like, I don't know. I just don't understand why people like hate Candace so much sometimes.
I can't remember. Does Candace know her mom's backstory?
Not as far as I've seen. It doesn't mean she hasn't heard it through the grapevine, but she wasn't there when Mia opened up about it. But I mean, I feel like that's the kind of situation where it's like, you don't know what someone's been through, so you shouldn't make those comments because you never know. But at the same time, it's like, I don't think she was like being
That's what I was going to say. In my opinion, I don't think she knew. Oh,
sorry. It's all right.
Yeah. I don't think she knew. Not that it makes it right, but I don't think she knew about Mia's mom situation. If she did, I do think that that's like if you knowingly are doing that, I think that's a little low. Again, like, I don't think what Mia was doing at the shoot was bad. Was it her place? No, but I don't think she did anything embarrassing. You know what I mean?
And I don't think Candace would have probably gone very far with it if she hadn't then at the party said like, your shoot was low budget. Like if she had just been like, I'm sorry, I know I probably shouldn't have said anything, I was just really curious. Then I feel like Candace, cause she didn't explode in the moment, I don't think she was like really that mad at Mia for what she did until she was like then commenting on her shoot being low budget. And yeah, it is low budget, but she's self-funding it. So like, oh, well, like,
yeah,
I mean, it is what it
is. I think that's just like a little easy dig to get in there.
Yeah, I agree. So I think Robin explained things well when she said some people feel uncomfortable talking about money and some people don't feel uncomfortable. And Candace says, well, I am one of those people who feels uncomfortable. So like to me, then it started to make sense that like she just doesn't want those questions being asked because it makes her personally feel uncomfortable to have to answer that. But with Robin being so open about her financial past, I feel like that's why there is such a huge disconnect between what people want to talk about and what people don't want to talk about on screen.
Yeah. I mean, for me, money, I don't ever really talk about it, but I'm also very, like, I would be open. It doesn't bother me, but I understand it does bother others. I think what's interesting is I think what makes Candace so sensitive to it is because I don't think that she's doing it all on her own.
Right.
And she seems to be self-conscious about that. I don't know why people just don't own it. Like, good for you. Your family has money and she can afford your life. That's kind of nice. I don't know why it's that big of a deal to admit. Just people can run with it as you being a princess or not an adult, but it's not you not being an adult. It's just your family has money.
Right. I mean, it's no different to me than Tinsley. Tinsley has, and yeah, Tinsley has done like influencer type, you know, things. I mean, she was like an it girl and she walks runways and does this and that. But like, if it weren't for her money, she wouldn't, you know, is. Right. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So, well, do you have any other thoughts about Potomac, like from the season or anything before we switch over to Salt Lake City?
Yes. So I'm still like irritated over Giselle and Robin not understanding the bringing up the Eddie rumor on camera. It is mind-boggling to me, and this is why I can't stand Giselle, is like, she literally is trying to act dumb, like we are dumb and we can't pick up on this. Like, girl, if you saying that it's not true, like, even if you bring it up, and you're saying, not that I believe it, not, you're giving it life to a national on a national platform, girl. That's why Wendy's pissed off. And it's like fascinating that she acts as if she doesn't realize. Like, she's like, I said it wasn't true. It doesn't matter. You're giving it more life to people that maybe didn't even see it to begin with.
Right. I would rather her just be like, well, it's out there. I want to talk about it. I'm curious. I want to know how you feel. Like, instead of being right. like, what do you mean?
Yes.
What do you mean?
I said it wasn't true. I don't. Yeah. I'm not spreading the. It's like the same thing with Vicky. Like, I'm not spreading a rumor. Or no, yeah. Teresa. Too.
Yes. But I think Vicky did the same. Or was it?
Yes.
Or
Vicky did this. It was about Tamara's or Eddie being gay or something. Yeah. She was like, oh, I just heard it. I didn't make up the rumor. Yes, but you're literally dispersing it to everyone on the show.
I feel like Tamara was kind of pulling that at the end too, being like, oh, oops, I didn't say that. Like, I don't know. But I feel like Tamara, she knows what she's doing.
She knows the game.
Yeah, she knows what she's doing. But I get that vibe. Same thing. I just feel bad for Wendy because even though I don't know, I feel like things are weird this season with her. Just, it's been hard for her because they just keep bringing this stuff up. It's like she can't relax because,
no.
I mean, we thought this was over and they're bringing it up again. So how is she supposed to let her guard down at this point?
What's been so sad and interesting to watch is watching Wendy's body language in every group scene and her leaving the scene. Like this episode, watching her leave to go to her car, her body language, she was just so uncomfortable. Like I think that they're really trying to break this girl. Like
I know.
And it's like, it is weird to me, the angle that they have come with all of this. This is again, where I feel like Robin needs to distance herself because Giselle, I expect this from, but Robin, like, I hate her being on that bandwagon with it, you know?
Because I feel like if there were rumors flying about Juan at this point, she would be just as upset about people talking about it. Like, she might not react the exact same way and attack those people, but she would not be okay with people talking about it.
She, on Watch What Happens Live, they said, you flew off the handle when Ashley brought up Juan rumors like a couple years ago, and now you're doing the same thing to Wendy. Why? And she's like, she had the most like kind of cringy answer because she really like kind of broke the fourth wall down, like in the sense, like, I maybe didn't know the nature of the beast. Like, this is a show, you know, we have certain things we got to do, blah, blah, blah. Like, her answer wasn't great. It was like, you know, she doesn't think she would be that way anymore because she knows that this is part of the show.
And she had so much time. She knew that question was going to happen. Yes. She had so much time to prepare herself there. I wish she would have done a little better.
It was really, you should watch What Happens Live from last night because I'm curious your thoughts. I've never seen Robin so energetic.
Interesting. I did record it. I just didn't I didn't watch it.
I've never seen her. She was very like jumpy and like, I don't know if she was like turnt, maybe a little
maybe
tipsy.
A little.
But I'm curious for you to see it. She was very like in rare form, in my opinion.
I haven't recorded because it went on the end of Salt Lake City. Right. I just didn't stay up for it. So I'll have to go back and watch it for sure. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm so excited to talk Salt Lake City with you over on the Patreon, but before we go, can you tell everyone where to find your podcast, where they can find you on Instagram and everything? Just anything you want to plug, let us know.
Yes. So find me Faces by Bravo on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. Oh my gosh, Paris Hilton.
Oh, Paris
started
Hilton.
Following me.
I was gonna say, that was at the top of my notes and I forgot to mention it. I cannot believe she's following you. That is insane.
I literally went to like go post one of my videos onto TikTok and all of a sudden the first thing that popped up was her commenting and like following me. I was like, so exciting.
So insane.
Yes. So if you love, you know, seeing me in a wig and no makeup performing as a housewife, go to my TikTok, go to my Instagram. I love to reenact a housewife scene. And DM me and tell me if you have any requests. I'm always down. And then my podcast is But Now We Said It. And basically, like I said earlier, we're just looking back at old episodes and old seasons of Housewives. This week we'll be dropping a special episode of But Now We Said It. Just call me Nancy Grace. Small world. I'm actually friends with the writer of the LA Times article. He went to college with my boyfriend. So I had him on, and then I had a lawyer on, and we kind of break down the Erica and Tom situation.
Oh, I'm so excited for that, because I really I need more background. I keep telling my listeners, like, if you want to know more about the case, I'm not the person. Go find someone else. So
well,
I can't wait
there
to
you go.
Yes, I can't wait to listen, because I really am curious about more of the like legal side of it, not just what we're seeing on the show. So that's great. Very exciting.
So I'm excited about that. And then after that, we're working on season two of But Now We Said It. So
very exciting. Awesome.
Thank you
so much for coming on. You're seriously the best, and hopefully everyone listening will head on over to the Patreon, because you don't want to miss the Salt Lake City gossip that we're about to have over there.
I can't wait.
Thanks for listening to It's All Happening. Remember to subscribe to my podcast and leave a 5-star review. If you have nothing nice to say, my DMs are always open. Please follow me on Instagram at @itsallhappeningx and on Twitter @happening_pod. Until next time.